The professor stepped on the magic button. The car just stayed there. He tried again. Well, the professor was astonished. It sounded so different. The armed services were mad. The crowd booed. The professor jumped out and raised the hood. Pigeons flew out. And there for the whole laughing crowd to see was a squirrel running around and around in its cage. The professor was stunned. He didn't know what to think. Mr. Hawks laughed and laughed at the joke he had played. The band put away their instruments again. The crowd dispersed. Washington went away mad, and beloved Betsy began to sob once more. But not for long, because when she looked over at the professor, sitting so dejectedly alone and unhappy on the running board of his car, her whole heart swelled with love for him. She ran to him and cried, "Professor, I love you, and where there is love, nothing is lost. Nothing but my reputation and my good name and the respect of my students," said the professor miserably. "And among other lost articles, I think, is my mind." "Then we'll use mine," cried the beloved Betsy. And she sat down beside the professor and she began to think. Now, maybe her mind wasn't quite as active as the professor's, but she did have more womanly intuition. "Well, you know, it's not even mine," said the professor, looking strangely at the car. "Shush," cried beloved Betsy, and the professor shushed. "Mr. Hawks," she cried, rising and starting away. "But," called the professor. "Hurry," she cried. "I've thought of a way to square this crookedness, get your flying car back, make you a hero and me a bride." And this was Betsy's plan and how it worked. In less time than it takes to tell, almost, they arrived at Mr. Hawks's home, and Betsy's womanly wiles were already working on Mr. Hawks, and he was looking at beautiful, beloved Betsy in nearly the same way that he looked at money. The professor just stood there looking, well, foolish, a lump of flubber, which Betsy had asked him to bring, hidden behind his back. She had already convinced Mr. Hawks that the flying car was nothing, that there was much more money to be made using flubber another way, the woman's angle, see. For instance, just a little flubber on the heels of shoes would put a spring in everyone's step. Each man would feel he owned the earth. Business would pick up, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth, and you could sell more shoes than cars any day. Well, Mr. Hawks already could see the money rolling in. He was even counting to himself.
7 million, 8 million.
And the professor was applying not just a little, but a big glob of flubber on each of Mr. Hawks' shoes. He stood Mr. Hawks up, pointed him toward the door, and pushed. Mr. Hawks bounced outside and up as high as the chimney before he came down, and then only long enough to glare and cry,
"I've been tricked!"
And up he shot again.
"Help! Let me down!"
"What do we do now?" said the professor, looking lovingly at beloved Betsy. A little boy came riding by on a bicycle. "Gee, Mr. Hawks," he cried, "can I play too?"
"Let me down!
First one and then another of the town folk came by. The postman could hardly believe his eyes. Mr. Hawks had always seemed such a sensible, down-to-earth sort. "Should I forward your mail?" he yelled. Word spread quickly about the Hawks happening. The fire department came. They spread their net and waited. The newspapers and the photographers, in fact, all the people who had gathered on the football field to see the professor fly, they were all there. This was making up for all the lost excitement of the morning. No one liked mean old Mr. Hawks anyway, and he was more fun to laugh at than the poor absent-minded professor. Oh, it was gay. It was Mardi Gras.
"Hey, it's the Red Hawks, Red Hawks, right here, Red Hawks, right
now." "Now who's the laughing stock?" cried Betsy.
"Red Hawks, right here."
"Things certainly do change," said the professor wonderingly. "Come on," said Betsy, taking the professor's hand. "We aren't finished yet." "Where to now?" asked the professor. Washington, cried Betsy, in your flying automobile. If we hurry, cried the professor, helping Betsy into the car, we can be there before Congress adjourns.
Woof, woof.
Of course, you too, Charlie.
Woof.
The professor stepped on the magic button. Safely and smoothly, they left the ground. You'd better sort of snuggle up, said the professor softly. It gets cold up here. Far behind and below was the little town and the bouncing Mr. Hawks. Straight ahead was Washington. Well, it had to happen sooner or later, and it happened sooner. Down below on the ground, there was a radar tracking station. The men watched in the radar screen, and the radar screen, in its own strange and wonderful way, watched the skies, tracking down everything in its orbit, alert and eager to pinpoint any unidentified object, almost human, watching, ready to pounce, The professor and Betsy and Charlie didn't know it, but they were on the screen and things happened fast.
Sir, I have an unknown approaching Washington prohibited zone. Heading 068 Angels 1.5, speed 45 knots. Hello, Birdman, Bird Farm, Bird Eggs. This is Flag Down. Scramble the 2 5-minute eggs. Attention, scramble blue flight. Scramble bird dog. Scramble bird. Scramble eggs. Victor 270, go gate to Angels 1.5. Contact Flag Down on frequency 6. Backup 7 and 9, squawk 3, alternate blood store.
This was an alert. All over the eastern states it was an alert. It was almost approaching the stage of condition yellow, which is just about as alert an alert as you can get, short of war. The pilot who spotted the Model T thought he really had spots before his eyes. A Model T automobile up in the sky? And when he reported, they thought he did, too. Well, when the professor saw the first of those jets zooming at him, he didn't believe it either. Head for that cloud, shouted Betsy. Hide! So the passengers of the Model T hid in the middle of a cloud. Soon every available aircraft was in the air. It was like an ant dodging a herd of elephants, that Model T, scooting from cloud to cloud. I hope it's cloudy all the way to Washington, said the professor. Betsy stood up in the car and called, Go away, we're friends, go away. Well, they didn't hear her. Unidentified object over Washington. Radios were alerting the people. Extras were on the street. Congress adjourned. Schools closed. Half the people were in their cellar. The other half were outside looking up. When the man from the Army... And the man from the Navy, and the man from the Air Corps, heard about a flying Model T, they got into a plane and came up for a closer look. For they were the same men who only that morning had attended that ridiculous fiasco with a similar Ford. Meanwhile, the flying car was scampering from cloud to cloud like the good cowboys scamper from rock to rock to dodge the bad boys' bullets. Life with the professor, thought Betsy for the 100th time, will not be humdrum. Well, never had a dog so served his master. Every time a jet came too close, Charlie would bark. And I'll tell you, that jet hightailed it out of there. You know, the professor actually was enjoying himself. He dared a longer than usual open field run before he finally made cover again. The Army and the Navy and the Air Corps had had a very good look. It's that crazy professor, all right, said the Army. He must have changed squirrels, said the Navy. Whatever happened, said the Air Corps with awe, it sure did. And they flashed the word, friendly craft, friendly craft. Immediately, the fighter planes became a flying escort. The Nikes were put back to bed. The alert was called off. The anti-aircraft, they weren't anti anymore. The people from the cellars joined the others on the streets, and they all headed for the Capitol grounds. This was bigger than any Easter egg roll. Congress convened again. I think, said the professor, we've run out of cloud. And he had, and he almost ran smack dab into the Capitol dome. Well, the professor was a hero, all right. His country was so proud of him. He presented his great invention, Flubber, to the government of the United States. Congress adjourned, and the president himself thanked him and shook his hand and said how charming he thought Beautiful Betsy was. And Beautiful Betsy giggled and said, oh, my hair, I must be a mess. And Charlie balked. And the Speaker of the House gave Charlie a bone. Congress convened again, long enough to award the professor a medal. That night, there was a grand ball, and the professor, with his beloved Betsy on his arm, and Charlie at his heels, led the grand march. And do you know who played the music for the grand march? The school band. Yeah, from back home.
Rah! Rah! Rah!
Yeah, 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 yeah!
Proud are we of mighty men!
Yeah.